Welcome to the Blockchain DNA Podcast. This show brings you the latest in blockchain technology and global developments in business and fintech. Presented by Metaverse DNA.
Thanks to the sponsorship of Metaverse DNA, we're now enabled to start a whole new series of connecting interesting speakers in various fields and make sure that we have connectivity. I would say a common goal, many interesting subjects to share. Today's cloud conference has some very interesting speakers who have complementary fields. They have some things in common. All of them have entrepreneurial views. All of them are interested beyond just blockchain, but major impact of blockchain on society, sustainable development goals, but also building new businesses and advancing the future of blockchains in general. We focus on decentralized finance today. So I want to introduce you to our sponsor representative of Metaverse DNA. It's Eric Yu. Eric, would you please come on? He's the CEO of Metaverse DNA, and like all the other speakers, he was a very, very early adapter of blockchain technology and cryptocurrencies in general. He's a lifetime member of the blockchain, with the Bitcoin Foundation. He is an entrepreneur. He started many, many companies, and today he's actually here, I would say, as a representative of Ufin Corporation, who's now doing a, I would say, revolutionary project by launching the first dual chain as Metaverse DNA. So, Eric, most welcome. You're going to talk to us today about digital identity in connection with decentralized finance. So I'm leaving the floor to you, and please go ahead.
Thank you, Annemieke. Okay, good day, everyone. It's a pleasure to be on this unprecedented FinWise Cloud Conference, May 2020. FinWise was a brand named conference. It started 2017, I think it's July. The first FinWise was in Shanghai. It was a major event. This FinWise actually is the seventh FinWise ever. We actually planned to have this FinWise as a local event in Toronto, but everybody know this new pandemic thing, COVID-19 pandemic made this not possible. But it actually bring us into a new reality that a cloud conference, cloud-based FinWise become interesting. So I'm honored to be able to speak to you through this FinWise cloud conference. Okay. Last year, it was almost a year ago. Actually, over 1 year ago. It was May 2019 that I announced Metaverse DNA project in FinWise conference, Hong Kong. It was whole year till today. We actually made a lot of progress on this project. We had 8 rounds of Supernode voting already conducted. And I think the last Supernode voting was 12 billion votes casted for 23 Supernodes. And we have a community of 353,000 and strong. And hopefully we'll hit 500,000 mark very soon. So we have a very strong community, and the DNA project grows strong and grow fast. And we have research centers in North America, Europe, and Asia. We have a large Toronto-based office and research center, and we have Shanghai office, and we're newly opening a Shenzhen office as well. And also we have Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, office opening a couple of months back. So DNA project for the past year, since we announced a year ago, grow really, really strong. And also DNA token was listed on more than a dozen exchanges, including big names like Bittrex, ZB.com, and Beaky.com. Yesterday, we got listed on OKEX. That actually marked a major milestone for us. This is very, very important. And our market cap hit all-time high to $200 million in March. But now we're still well over $100 million mark in terms of market cap. So that being said, I'm extremely, extremely pleased for these developments. Looking forward, our DNA mainnet will be launched very, very soon. And we are actually testing them. I'm going to announce 10 testing nodes this week, actually probably today. And other features like decentralized exchange and smart contract platform will be followed late this year. So a lot of development. So before my speech, I actually want to give you a state of metaverse speech that telling everybody that we are doing really strong here. Okay. So the next thing I want to say is it's rather a strange time for us. Start of this year, everything looks normal, and all of a sudden, COVID-19 pandemic hit. Starting from January 23rd, China start to lock down, and followed by South Korea, and Singapore, and other Asian countries. Then in February, Italy and Europe followed. United States and Canada didn't lock down until mid-March, but I think by now, everyone had experienced the life of lockdown, stay home, work from home, study from home. It is very strange to say the least. So we probably had an experiment that we are entering a new digital life, digital living. We browse Amazon instead of go to local stores, supermarkets. We watch Netflix instead of go to bar and drink with friends. So things changed. I'm in Canada, and it was my first time that experienced the network latency. The internet in Canada was extremely good, but imagine like 9 a.m. in the morning, I'm on a conference call and my wife is watching Netflix and the two kids are opening their online courses. That means in my household, we have four internet streaming connection. So this is really, really new. We have a slow internet and everything is new, but can you see? We actually move a lot of activity from outside to inside, from offline to online. So basically, look the stores. A lot of supermarkets and a lot of department store actually closed down. Macy's is doing terribly, and Target are doing terribly. But look, what happened to Amazon? Amazon stock actually created an all-time high a few days ago, and it recovered all the loss during the pandemic stock market crash. And if you look, Google, they are doing even better. The searches are crazy, and people getting information not from newspaper anymore, they're getting from online. So the digital living, the pandemic actually pushed us into a new digital living experiment. Interestingly, all these technology that we are using right now are ready 5 years ago, but we are not pushed to this limit say we have to enter into this kind of new digital living. But now we are like testing it in full force, and probably that will be our new reality. There's no normal to go back to. We are going to do things digitally from now on. Interestingly, the technology that we are actually using, we used to call fintech, financial technologies, AI, blockchain, cloud computing, data technology, and Internet of Things. And you know, there are new clashes between the old and the new. Look this, Donald Trump tweeted a few days ago, says, the mail-in ballots, and they're criticizing the social media, criticizing the mail-in votes. What's important is we are actually giving a lot of data online. We're accumulating a lot of data online. Who's actually collecting these data? Who's actually collecting this data? Amazon did. Amazon does. Google does. Facebook and also Twitter. So these companies are actually making a lot of money from the data we gave them. We, as consumer, we gave them the data and they make money off us. And interestingly, they have an opinion of the data we give them. That's why Donald Trump is, President Trump, are not very happy about this, right? And the other thing is, they are making money off the data that we gave to them. And the data ownership are very important. Before, we have digital identities create through their service. Like we have Facebook accounts, that's our digital identity. We have Twitter account, that's our digital identity with Twitter. So what I'm saying that we need to use a new form of digital identity that is decentralized, blockchain-based, and cryptographically ensured and secured by the technology that actually owned by us. So the data ownership, the data provenance are very, very important. I see a lot of people actually talk about blockchain provenance, meaning this merchandise is belong to whom, the origin of this particular merchandise. But what I think is more importantly, data provenance is probably more important because data is the new gold in our century. Look the company I just mentioned, Amazon, Google, Twitter, Facebook. They are actually valued in the billions of dollars, right? How they make money? Actually, they make money out of the data that we send to them. So that's very important. The other thing is, using this digital identity, that blockchain digital identity, we can have a lot of things that owned by us. It's not actually owned by Facebook or Twitter. So a lot of digital assets, digital dollars, bitcoins, or digital art can be owned by your own blockchain-based digital identities. Now there's a movement of non-fungible token. We're talking about digital art. We're talking about digital intellectual property. Those can be owned by your own digital identity. That's very important. I'll give you another example that where the digital identity actually can help in the real life. I think everybody know that US and Canada actually giving out a stimulus package. Everybody get a check mailed in, right? So it's actually a tremendously cumbersome work. It takes a lot of effort to give everybody a check of $2,000. So in US, they have to actually needs to go through the Internal Revenue Services to give everyone a check. I was told that the last check will be mailed out, verified, and mailed out by mid-July. I mean, by mid-July, a lot of people probably already very hungry. I wouldn't say starving, yeah, very hungry. And the most hard to find person are probably mostly need that particular $2,000. So if you have a digital identity and digital currency, don't you think it would be such an easy job to do that, to give everyone a universal benefit, a universal cash deposit? That would be so easy. And the other thing, if you look this particular tweet that Trump made, he actually calling a mail-in ballot problematic. So online voting, it's probably going to be a new reality very, very soon. I don't know. Maybe there will be a second wave, or maybe not. But a lot of people will not be able to go out and vote in this particular November presidential election. It's going to be hard. So this is what I tweeted to Donald Trump, President Donald Trump. I hope you see it. Use blockchain digital identity solution to solve this issue. You can use digital identity to vote. It is actually a very thought out solution. Use this cryptographic way of new voting. It actually uses cryptography to ensure you are a US citizen and you have your unalienable rights to vote in this presidential election. And also second thing is also very important, that no matter how much you love or hate President Trump, you will only be able to cast one vote for Trump or for Biden. no two votes. So that solved the problem for Trump's, say, mail-in ballot problem, right? So I think blockchain decentralized identity solution will become the bedrock of our new digital living. That being said, again, back to the project we're having, Metaverse DNA. Metaverse DNA will provide digital identity solution. I hope President Trump will hear this, and you know, or any, for that matter, any democratic country, they want to, you know, this kind of solution to contact us. That's a joke. Anyway, that will be my talk. Thank you very much. I'll return this back to Anamikia.
Thank you, Eric. That was an inspirational insight into, I would say, a flow of technology over the past 4 or 5 years, which is, you know, tremendously speeded up over this last pandemic. It was, I think, very interesting to hear you refer to technologies already so long actually within our reach that we have not really, I would say, put its maximum use. And now, due to this pandemic, there's a positive upside to it, I think. And that is that we actually are, I wouldn't say forced, but I would say invited or seduced to using them to the maximum ability that they have.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Blockchain DNA podcast. Make sure to visit our website and follow us on social media at DNA by Metaverse or at MVS DNA. Till next time. Till next time. Till next time.